It's a joy to be with you this morning. It's fun to get to stay in at the 11. Normally I'm not in, so it's cool to be with you all this morning. We are in this series at the moment where we're thinking about moving from happiness to joy. And this week we're looking particularly at joy through remembrance. Would you pray with me before we dig in? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As part of my work here at NYX, I get the privilege and the joy to work with teenagers in our local sixth form college. And this week, Will joined us for a special Grill a Vicar event. So any and all questions were up for grabs, and they really did test that. But the thing that I love the most about working with sixth formers at this event was the depth of theological questions they asked. So I thought I would start by sharing some of them with you. So I hope you've had some coffee and are awake this morning, because they're intense. So we started jumping straight into the most fundamental questions about human existence. What is the largest animal you think you could feasibly gaffer tape to a lamppost, and how would you do it? I'm just going to let you sit with that for a moment. It actually gets more theological the longer you ponder it. Then we had, if your best friend accidentally ran someone over and killed them, would you help them hide the body? We really got into the heart of Christian ethics there. And then one student wondered aloud, do you need God if everything in your life is good? Do you need God if everything in your life is good? Our passage this morning rather simply gives us an answer to this very basic question. In our passage, Moses is talking to the Israelites, preparing them to enter the promised land, preparing them for a life that is good. The Israelites have been in the wilderness for 40 years. They left everything they knew in Egypt, following God here. And in this time, they've become fully dependent on God. And this has been a really practical dependence. When they needed water, God had to provide the water. When they needed food, God provided manna from heaven. In the wilderness, the Israelites were taught that their life depends on and is sustained by God. In the wilderness, their dependence and their very need for God is front and center. It's a day-to-day dependence, and it governs every aspect of their living. But now they're at this moment where they're looking ahead to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. In the section just before the section we read, if you've got your Bibles in front of you, in verse 3-5, it talks about this is a land with brooks and streams, a land with wheat and barley and fig trees and olive oil. Everything they need is here in this promised land. But the danger here is that in the face of all this goodness, they might start asking the question, do we need God? Moses warns them in verse 11, be careful you do not forget the Lord your God. Be careful you do not forget him. He goes on in verse 12 and 13 saying, otherwise when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. You will forget the Lord your God that you depended on. One biblical commentator puts it like this: amnesia becomes the greatest threat. Out of the wilderness, amnesia becomes the greatest threat. In the land when your life looks good, when you can harvest the land for yourself, when it appears that you have everything you could need, the danger is that you forget your dependence on God. You begin to think of yourself as self-sufficient, and you begin to ask, do we need God? The passages that we have been looking at over the past couple of weeks in Deuteronomy, we've talked about how some of these passages are the passages that Jesus quotes in the wilderness when he's tested and tempted by the devil. The devil's tests to Jesus have a similar echo to them. Do you need God? If you are the Son of God, provide for yourself. If you are the Son of God, test God. If you are the Son of God, have all the kingdoms of the earth to yourself. In each instance, Jesus responds by quoting these Hebrew scriptures, reminding the devil and himself who he is dependent upon. Because the promise and the tempting from the devil is one of self-sufficiency. And Jesus, in his response, becomes the model for us in these moments when we're tempted to ask, do we actually need God anymore? Many years ago, after I graduated university, I was in this kind of in-between time. I did that really classic thing of moving back in with my parents. I was working in a coffee shop, and I had this really strong call to the US, and I was spending some time applying for graduate programs, but really didn't know what was next. And it was this time where I knew that there were certain things that needed to line up in order to be able to make this move, but I didn't know if it was going to happen. And it was a time of a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknown, but it was also this quite precious time of prayer and dependence on God. I spent time with friends and family praying about God's will, praying about God's call, and depending on him each day. And one night, just before Christmas, I got an email from a school offering me a place, and I was ecstatic. And I remember this scene like so vividly in my mind. I don't know if you have those moments that are kind of haunting you in your mind. This was one of those moments for me. I was just so happy. I was in my parents' living room. I'm reading this email again and again. And my family is celebrating, and then suddenly, across the room, in quite a quiet but gentle voice, my dad pipes up and says, "Hey, I think we have someone to thank, don't we?" Now, I think I thought I was in the Oscars, so I was like immediately, oh yes, how could I be so stupid? So turning to my mum and dad, I start this long speech about how, even though I had obviously put in all the work and I had done all of this, I'd spent all these hours applying, you know, they had let me live with them and they had put up with the stress, and I'm so sorry I forgot to thank them. And I'm just going on in quite a self-aggrandizing speech. And my dad, half laughing, gently interrupts me and says, "Not us. Who have we been praying to this whole time? I think we have someone else to thank, don't we?" In that moment, in my excitement, in my amnesia, I needed to be reminded of the truth of God. How quickly, in the place of blessing, did I forget that God was actually the main character in the story? How quickly I took God's blessing, his graciousness, and I wrote it on my own heart as self-sufficiency and success. See, the danger that we face coming out of the wilderness is that we falsely begin to think that we don't need God. But here's the thing. In the wilderness and out of the wilderness, our need for God doesn't actually change. our need for God is actually not greater in the wilderness. Our need is exactly the same. It's our awareness of that need that does change. In seasons of wilderness, we might be more aware of our dependence on God. I was trying to think of an example of this, and I'm really sorry, the only one I could come up with is the pandemic. So I'm sorry to bring it up, but cast your minds back to the pandemic. So research shows that humans need about 8 to 10 meaningful touches throughout a day to maintain our physical and emotional health. It's a basic human need. We need touch and interaction. And in the pandemic, either starved of human contact ourselves or becoming more aware of people who were isolated and starved of human contact, we became more aware of this need. But this need doesn't actually change. It's the same basic human need, but our context changes our awareness of it. And the same is true for the Israelites. Walter Mobley puts it like this: it's through their hunger being met that Israel learns about what it means to be human. Alongside material needs, humanity needs a relationship with God. The need for the relationship is still the same whether they're in the wilderness or not. For the Israelites about to step into the promised land, they are just as much in need as they are in the wilderness. But the danger is that they might forget the God they've depended on and the God they will need to depend on in the future. And Moses says this clearly, reminding the Israelites, this God is the same God who led you out of Egypt through the wilderness. He gave you water to drink. He fed you. Remember the God who was faithful to you yesterday and will be faithful to you tomorrow. Don't forget your dependence and need for him. In my parents' living room with my Oscar speech attempt, I needed to be reminded of the truth of who God is. That it was God who brought me this far. It was God who has and will be faithful. It's God who has shown graciousness and kindness to me. It's like a gentle tugging at the sleeve or like trying to catch someone's eye and attention, saying, remember what's true. Remember it's God. It's God who is faithful. It's God, not you. So much of our practices in the life of the church are equivalent to this. They're equivalent to this, hey, don't forget what is true. We turn up each week to this building or others like it, and we might come full of God's blessing, feeling really content and full. Or we might come in the midst of the wilderness, full of more questions than we have answers. We might come simply because our kids are here, or to be honest, you might be sat there thinking, I don't actually know why I'm here today. But either way, whatever seat you're in, whatever place you're in, the truth of God doesn't change. He's faithful, and we need him. And our practices in church are a continual, gentle callback to this truth. In confession, the prayer that we prayed together at the start of the service, we express again our need for God, our dependence on him. In worship, we express this same need in praise and thanksgiving for who God is. We tell stories together of God's faithfulness, of what he has done. And in prayer, we acknowledge again our need for God. You know, each week we pray in church for the ongoing situations in Gaza and in Ukraine, situations in our city, and situations in the life of the church. And part of why we do this each week is acknowledging the fact that we can't fix this on our own, that we need God to come into the midst of these situations. It's a reminder again for us of our utter dependence on Him. In Lent, this season we're in as a church, it's a time of preparation, and often it's marked by fasting from things. Is anyone fasting from anything? Literally no. Oh, thank you. A few hands. Okay. I was like, oh no. Okay, so we fast not because of tradition. We fast because it's a reminder that when we give up things that fill our hearts or fill our time, it's a reminder of our dependence on God. One of my favorite writers, Lauren Winner, writes of a time when her priest challenged her to give up reading for Lent. And she had planned to just fast. She was like, I'm going to fast for one day a week, and this is a really hard commitment. And her priest said, Lauren, I want you to give up reading. And she said it wasn't until she gave it up for Lent she realized just how much she turned to reading as a way to distract her from her life, her sadness, and her mistakes. She took something good, reading, that she enjoyed, but she was using it to fill a hole in her life, to distract her from the reality of what was going on. In the absence of books, she said she had to turn to God with the stuff that she couldn't distract herself from. The danger outside of the wilderness is that we distract ourselves from that basic, fundamental human need for God. Be careful, Moses says, that you do not forget the Lord your God. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Our service today leads up to the sharing of bread and wine around the communion table. In the breaking of bread and wine, in the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine, we confess again our need for God. Jesus said to his friends, "Eat and drink in remembrance of me." So here at this table, we eat bread and we drink wine in remembrance of the God who remembered us first on the cross. We gather around this table to confess the same truth, that the same God who showed up for the Israelites in the wilderness and in the promised land came to earth, took on human flesh, died for me, died for you, all for his great love for us. This same God who we remember, remembered me and remembered you as he drew his last breaths on the cross. As we gather around this table, we're invited to embrace again our need for God, to recognize our full dependence on him. And God's promise is that in our need, in confessing our need for him, he meets us. He doesn't leave us in our need. He meets us right there. We all come this morning from different places. I don't know what type of morning you've had, whether it's been peaceful, whether it's been chaotic, whether it's been a stress to get here, or you've had a coffee before the service and you're feeling very relaxed. We all come from different places, carrying different things into this building. And there might be some of us who feel like we're in seasons of blessing right now. And so I wonder, for those of us in seasons of blessing, what would it look like to remain dependent on him in this season? Where might we be in danger of forgetting God? Where might the temptation arise for self-sufficiency? What would it look like in this season to remind yourself continually about what is true about God and what is true about your dependence on Him? Not all of us are going to be in seasons of blessing this morning. So for those of us who are in the wilderness, who might be praying, Lord, I need you, half as a cry and half as a question, there's an invitation this morning to come to the table and meet the God who has not forgotten you. He is faithful and He can be depended on. And there might be some of us here who have never expressed a need for God. So I wonder what your life would look like if you prayed a really simple prayer this morning of, Lord, I need you. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, the thirsty, waterless land. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness. Remember the Lord your God. Amen.